There's a set of scriptures in the back. If you need one, raise your hands, and there'll be others who are happy as an usher to bring one to you. But we love the Word of God in this place. There'll also be a set of scriptures that's up on the projection screen. But if you can see it from your own Bible, I think it's really important. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 to 31. Last week, we spoke of seeing how God sees. Anybody like me finding the older you get, the more you need stronger sets of these? Yeah. Anybody think it's the pits to have to confess that? Yeah. Anybody have lines in yours that people can see? Okay. How many have lines you don't want people to see? Come on, true confession. Yeah, me too. Seeing. Clearly, we understand that we are able to have sight physically, but that doesn't mean we see what God wants us to see spiritually. There are all sorts of vision problems. We've talked about it. Myopic faith, if you will. Nearsightedness. There's farsightedness. There's RP. Several in the room have had RP and others where you have a narrowing field of vision. Total frustration as people have suffered from those kinds of things. And Lord, heal our sight. Heal our eyes. And what we want is to be able to see. Don't we? We want to see clearly. We want to be able to know what He's doing. Watch what the Scriptures say. Matthew 9, 27 through 31. Spend a few minutes with me, drilling down, if you will, into this particular passage from the book of Matthew. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed Him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." Say that with me and cry it out, will you? "Son of David, have mercy on us." What do you think it was like when that was happening? There are people all around, there's crowds, and these guys start to cry out. Have you ever had any member of your family or friend embarrass you? Don't look at your spouse right away. Anybody ever, have you ever embarrassed your spouse? This might be one of those occasions. "Son of David, have mercy on us." Shut up. But there's a serious need here. "Son of David, have mercy on us." When he had come into the house, Peter's house, by the way, most likely. When he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes, say it with me, were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." But when they departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. Just kind of like a little aside here, a little bit of context. There are several passages in Matthew and Luke, others elsewhere, where you saw people crying out to God to heal their eyes. They heard He was walking by. "Heal my eyes, Lord. Come on. What do you need? Heal my eyes. Duh. What's the need? I don't want to be blind anymore." And have you ever noticed the Lord who loves to teach us something does some things differently? It's not always a pattern for all time. He put mud on one person's eyes, and I don't have a bowl of mud up here to apply to your eyes. Aren't you glad that's not the necessary accepted methodology every time we pray for eyes? Some, He said He had compassion, healed them immediately. But take a look up here. Because maybe these guys are a little more like some of us. Takes a little more time. You ever felt like I felt sometimes, "Oh, dopey me, why didn't you get this?" You're quiet this morning. Anybody felt like that? Yeah. Lord, how come I have to go through this again? Man, you know, I remember growing up as a kid, my stepdad, he was a great guy. I loved my stepdad, but he would teach me over and over again. Finally, you don't get to say this to me, but finally he'd look at me and go, "You stoop." Terrible image. So as a kid, I rebuked him in Jesus' name. No, I didn't. But I did start to consider, maybe I'll try to up my learning curve here and do this quicker. But wonder what's going on here. I want to unpack this just for some simple points this morning. So you go home as people of faith with some points of faith. And we've been looking a lot at seeing. You go back over the scriptures and the messages that are online, gracechristiancenter.us. But looking at seeing, blindness, the inability to see. People can have natural eyesight, as we've said, and not see. And we've talked a lot about the condition of your heart leads to the condition of your sight. Steps to seeing how God wants us to see. Number one, believe Jesus. Come on, say that with me. Believe Jesus. When these men cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on me," you need to understand contextually what they are saying is, "I believe you are the Messiah." It was clear throughout Israel that the Messiah to come was to be the son of King David, their favorite king, Israel's most favorite king, the one who released blessing on their nation down through antiquity, down through time. You ask them today, who was the best king ever in Israel? Quickly, they will say, King David. King David. But it was one of the sons of David who was to sit on the throne and be the Messiah. Now, this Messiah didn't look like the Messiah they expected. They expected a Messiah to kick the Romans out. They expected a Messiah to bring victory in and to establish them again in rulership of the nation. And this Messiah came a little bit different. But these guys nevertheless are saying, "I believe. I'm a believer. Jesus is the Messiah." I want to ask you quickly this morning, how many believers are in the room? Come on, let me hear you. I'm going to say it with me. I'm a believer, Pastor Kev. So when you approach God, if you want to see like God sees, you need to believe that He can do something in your situation. I want to know, I really do, how many in this room have a situation going on in your life right now that you don't quite understand but would like to have some understanding? I'm very happy to admit to you that I would love for the Bible to say, "Thy word of God, which is a lamp unto my feet," I would love it to say, "is a beacon for my forehead." Amen. So I can see out there a long time ahead. But I've got some questions. Yes, sir, you've got some questions too about what's life going to bring and what's all going to happen, Lord, what's next? But you've got to approach Him if you want to see, believing that He sees you and He responds to your heart of faith and trust and belief. He is the way, the truth, and the life, the Bible tells us. He's the only one who took your sins and mine upon Himself. It's Jesus. If you want to see how God sees, quickly say it with me, believe Jesus. Number two, follow Jesus. Say that with me, follow Jesus. This is not casual indifference. We talked a few weeks ago about, you know, the team's football, the Seahawks. They didn't go out, round up some players, sign them to contracts so they could be bench warmers, look at each other, high five, say it's good to be in the Seahawk fellowship, isn't it? It's great. It's just a nice thing. We'll sing some songs. We'll have s'mores. Is that why they hire these guys on the team? If that's what they are, how many of you think that, number one, they wouldn't even get to that team? But number two, that's not what they're there for. They're there to win. They're there to take the pennant. They're there to go all the way and win the Super Bowl. Yeah. If you're going to do that, you can't be casual. It's not, "Well, I guess I'll go today to church. And next week I won't." Having said that, somebody goes, I can't be here next week. Are you going to be upset? Let me teach you a principle, however. I do want to teach you a principle. The Holy Spirit has a gift in the Scriptures, according to 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. You read about one of the gifts of the Spirit is the word of knowledge. And many times the Lord will reveal a need, and I can't tell you over and over again how many people will come to me on the way out the door. They did not respond at the time because they felt embarrassed. On the way out the door, they'll say, "By the way, that was for me. May I in great love tell you, by the grace of Jesus, He is good, He is gracious. I'll pray for you all day long, from week in, week out, 24/7, but you missed it." Mm-hmm. Now hear me carefully. As your pastor, you missed your opportunity to set up your sail so the wind of God could blow in your direction. So what do we need to do? "Boy, are you bawling me out this morning?" I'm saying, "Hey, just be responsive." Yeah. Yeah. Follow Him. Whatever He says. How many remember, you know, the general that came who had leprosy? And the prophet didn't even go outside to see him. He sends a servant out. He says, "Go dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times. You'll be healed of leprosy." And boy, was that general upset. He was getting ready to miss his opportunity. Someone say amen or oh no.
Amen.
And he had a smart enough servant as an assistant standing by and say, you know, and because he's all upset. These are muddy waters. Or Jordan's muddy. And we got better rivers than this back home. Isn't it interesting that sometimes we have great needs and we get huffy about what God wants us to do about it? Go make it right with that person. I don't want to. They messed me up. I'm not going to them. And God says, go make it right with that person. I'm not going to do it. But when we humble ourselves and we go, all of a sudden healing takes place. But he's all upset. I don't want to dip in these rivers. And his guy standing next to him says, look, you know, just basically bottom line, 21st century, what do you got to lose, pal?
That's right.
But your leprosy. What do you got to lose? Leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. What do you have to lose except that sin from your life? And Jesus can heal you if you'll respond his way. And he was healed. So what does it mean? It means I follow him. My chance to respond is now. So whatever you say, Lord, I want to do, and I want to do it now. It's not works to get saved. It's cooperation with him. They didn't say, by the way, how did they make their need known to Jesus? They didn't come in and sit down and say, well, you know, Lord, not seeing too well. If you want to, you might reach over your hand and heal me. Is that how they prayed?
No.
Come on, don't get quiet on me now. Is that how they prayed?
No.
You Pentecostals out there, is that how they prayed?
No.
No. So why do we approach our faith like that? Well, if it be your will, Lord, save me. Well, you know, sort of, kind of, maybe, touch me. That's not what these guys said. Oh, God, I cry out, I have a need. Lord, you're the only one who can meet that need. Help me, Lord. Come on, have you ever prayed that way? I'm not saying you have to do it right now, right in front of me, although that's fine if we all want to cry out to God. That's what we did a little while ago. But somewhere, you need to drop your pride and go tuck your head into a pillow. Man, I was in a college dormitory. Anybody ever live in a college dormitory? Everybody's in your face. I had a single room as soon as I could get one. But I found I'd roll open my window, want to study at night, and this is way back when, and the marijuana smoke had just come pouring into my room. I used to have to go to the library to study, but I would cry out to God and I'd pray. But I came to the time where I had to bury my head in a pillow. And then I came to a time where I took the shoes out of my closet, jumped in the closet and prayed. You know, my prayer closet. I made such a religion out of that. Finally, the Holy Spirit spoke to me one day, said, what are you doing in the closet? Trying to pray. But the point was, if I have to bury my head into a pillow so somebody else can't hear it as loudly, then that's what I need to do. Because if I've got a need, Lord, I know you're the only one who can meet it.
Amen.
And I want you to know I'm serious about this. So I'm going to believe you and I'm going to follow you and I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. Have you ever considered the fact that these guys were blind? How many twists and turns did Jesus take before he got to the house? And they had to follow him all that way. Now, we're still talking about two guys that had to follow him. And they were crying out to Jesus all along, weren't they, Donna? Don't you think they just did it once and said, I prayed one time and he didn't meet me, so forget it. You think that was their attitude? I don't think that was their attitude. I think, hey, Jesus, didn't you hear me?
Yeah.
You ever sent an email or a text to somebody that didn't respond?
Yeah.
Three of you are acknowledging that. You ever send an email or a text, they didn't respond, and you go, okay, did you get that? And so what do? You send a follow-up email or a text to them, say, hey, did you get that? And they yell back at you, of course I got it, get off my case. But the point was, they finally answered you back.
Yeah.
I wonder how they were crying out to Jesus, and they kept following him to the house. Number three, cry out to Jesus, and that's exactly what we're talking about. Cry out to Jesus. Do you know what this Greek word is? The Bible says they were crying out to Jesus, kratzo. Literally, they croaked as a raven. They screamed, call aloud, shriek, exclaim, entreat, Jesus, help me. Lord, show me. Open my eyes. I want to see. And if you can't see what God is trying to do in your life, it's time to cry out to God. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see you. I want to hear you. I want to respond to you, oh God. I'm not going to be casual about this. I want you, Jesus. Amen. Now, is he there to answer you? Yes, he is. This is not, I'm not talking about works to get him to respond, but Jesus was after something in these two guys. Don't you think Jesus probably heard them the first time? If a woman in the midst of a crowd can touch him, and he said, who touched me? And they said, Lord, you're surrounded by people slamming you all around. What are you talking about? And he knew exactly that something had happened. Don't you think this Lord could hear them? Some, he had instant compassion. Others, he's checking to see what's in our hearts. Respond now. Take your time now to call out and cry out to Jesus. Number three, or four rather, see your need for mercy from Jesus. Son of David, have mercy. Son of David, have
mercy.
Now, isn't that interesting? You know what mercy is? Not getting what we deserve. I can tell you very honestly this morning, the Bible says clearly, no man is righteous, no, not one. They've altogether turned aside. They've altogether become filthy. I do not deserve heaven and Jesus. What do I deserve? I'll say it, me personally, hell. What do you deserve? The grace of God is a wonderful thing because we need him. See your need for mercy. Without him in my life, I surely would be lost. Son of David, have mercy on me. They recognize, they believe, but basically that means they come in humility. I don't deserve your goodness, Lord. I just receive it. Can you say that with me? I don't deserve your goodness, Lord. I just receive it. Point number five, believe Jesus can, believe Jesus will, and believe Jesus wants to. He wants to meet you and me this morning. He can, he will, he wants to. Jesus said to them, do you believe I'm able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes. He called for something from their hearts and their lives. They had to lay down their arrogance to say, Lord, I need you. Is your trust and your faith in him? Do you know he wants to touch you and heal you, strengthen you? Do you know how much he loves you? Turn to one another and say, do you know how much Jesus loves you? Listen to Luke 12, 31 and 32. Luke 12, 31 and 32. Seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. Don't fear, little flock. Watch this. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I've had times where I'm sure you have where I struggle and strive. Come on, Lord, is it what I did or what I didn't do? Is it my works and they're bad? And he says, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Then he touched their eyes. According to their faith, let it be to you. And please read it with me. And their eyes were opened. Now, just so you know, true to the text, I want to finish the thought on this part. Jesus, in the Greek, super strongly, literally, angrily, told him, don't you go and tell anybody about this. Emphasis added was me. Super strong. That's the meaning of that word. Now, did they obey him?
No.
Can you blame them?
No.
How long had they been blind? And now they can see. Most commentators agree that Jesus knew that if it was announced about this healing, that people would begin to flock to him just for healing and probably possibly miss the reason of life he was trying to show them and give them. How many followers came to Jesus just because he gave them a miracle meal? And he's trying to say, don't go spread this about. I got stuff to do. And he really couldn't continue to do it as freely when the crowd started coming around. I don't think God was angry when people began to praise him for their miracles. Do you think God's angry at you this morning when you give him praise and testimony for being so good? I don't think so. But how many of you know, really know, that in the depth of your heart, he knew where you were last night, this morning? How many of you know that in the depth of your spirit, he saw you when you were crying and shed a tear that you maybe didn't want anybody else to see? Maybe when you boiled with a little bit of anger, said, God, I'm being treated so unfairly. People are misunderstood. You know, people draw themselves into corners and join this group or that group and this radical movement, this radical, because of something usually that's happened in their lives. And our God wants to heal and love and open our eyes and make us his own. Are you glad to be his this morning? Would you stand with me? And I'm going to ask you to do something very special this morning. It may sound simple, but I believe God wants to do something for you. Musicians, if you'll make your way up here. I have you do this upon occasion, and I'm going to have you do it this morning. The Bible talks about the laying on of hands for the impartation of healing. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to ask you to take your own hands, put them right over your eyes this morning. If you've got glasses, you can either smudge them or take them off if you want. It's up to you. Three people heard that. Put your hands on your eyes and pray in following me. Lord Jesus, I come to you now. I confess my own blindness. But Lord, I believe you. Lord, I follow you. Lord, I cry out to you. Lord, I believe you see me, that you know me, that you hear me, and that you want to help me. And right now, by faith, I believe you to heal my eyes and heal my sight, Lord, that I might see the way you see. And now, Lord, I give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Raise your hands to the Lord and give him praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for being our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, for hearing our many prayers this morning. And we know that we have the petitions we've asked of you if we pray anything according to your will. Now bless this precious group of people this morning who have come with hunger in their spirits to say, let's go meet Jesus. Let's go see Jesus. Strengthen each one as they go from this place, as they see and find your word and presence in a fresh way. Thank you, Lord. The extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, they all said,
amen.
Amen. Be released in the presence of the Lord together.